On Sunday nights, we've been looking specifically at the subject of the apostasy of the last days. So within our theme for the year, a prophetic theme, one of the major themes that we see in the Bible is that in the last days, there will be a great falling away from the faith. Many will call themselves Christians, but will teach the exact opposite to what is in the Bible. So we've been encouraged as a church, as a people, to be on the alert and to be discerning. And tonight we're going to continue in that series before we gather around the Lord's table. Look with me in Proverbs chapter number 22. Proverbs chapter number 22 and verse 28. I'd like to begin this evening's message with this one verse. Proverbs chapter number 22, verse 28. Some precious wisdom from the book of wisdom. The Bible says, "Remove not the ancient landmark which thy fathers have set." Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Lord, we thank you for this evening. We thank you for your word. Lord, your word is a light, Lord, in a dark place. Help us, Lord, to follow the light of your word. Thank you, dear Lord, for the truth that we can be encouraged in and challenged with. Lord, protect us, we pray, from the great wave of apostasy that is leading many away from the truth. Lord, we are not any better than anyone else, Lord. We don't claim to be. But Lord, we desire and claim the promise of your word. If we stay faithful to the truth, we can be kept, Lord, from the deception of this day. Help us, dear Lord, we pray this evening. In Christ's name we ask. Amen. Now, as we've been looking at the subject of apostasy, previously we've looked at the tactics of apostasy. And tonight I'd like to move on to another section in the theme, which is steps to apostasy. The Bible tells us we can identify certain steps, certain ways, how people fall away from the truth. You know, the Word of God tells us what they are, tells us how we can avoid falling away from the truth, how we can avoid falling into error and false doctrine that is so widespread today. And this evening we're going to look at the first step to apostasy, which is compromise. Compromise is always the first step to falling away from the truth. Whenever there is compromise, you are on the path of apostasy, of false teaching. Now, Proverbs chapter 2, verse 28 teaches us a very important lesson when it comes to this issue of compromise. The Bible says, "Remove not the ancient landmark which thy fathers have set." Now, this verse is in reference to a verse in the book of Deuteronomy, which describes the life of the nation of Israel. Those who had lands in possession were to put landmarks on that land to mark out the area that they occupied. A landmark oftentimes was a large pile of stones that was built up almost like a pyramid and built up on top of each other. And they were basically the border markers of the land. And oftentimes you would find a marker in each corner of the land. And as you can imagine with me, that designated the area of the land which was possessed. Now here in verse number 28, the warning is not to remove the ancient landmark, not to shift the landmark. You see, there were thieves, there were robbers, there were deceivers out there that wanted to take advantage of the landowners. And how could they do that? Well, they would simply shift that landmark just a little bit, just a tiny little bit, a small amount at a time, just enough so that the change won't be noticed. But over time, that person's land would very soon decrease and shrink without a visible notice. And so the warning here and the admonition was to not remove the ancient landmark which thy fathers have set. And additionally, if someone was to move their own landmark, then they would also suffer a loss. They would also suffer a loss. Now, in order to prevent this from happening, oftentimes, as a security, a practice that took place was that a few feet under the ground, below that landmark, was buried a document. Sometimes it was a title deed, sometimes it was a specific information of the owner. And so even though the landmark may have shifted, the title deed was buried under the accurate place. The accurate place where that landmark originally was. So if it was shifted deceptively, that document would reveal the exact border of the land, the exact place where it originally was. Now, I say this to say because when it comes to the shifting of truth, it's taking place every day and more often than not today. People are departing from the faith. People are horrifically turning the truth of God into a lie, believing another gospel, the Bible says. And the good news is for us today as Bible-believing Christians, we have the title deed of the Word of God, amen? The Word of God tells us where the borders of truth are. The Word of God reconfirms where we ought to be as Christians and what we ought to believe, amen? This is our ancient landmark which our fathers have set. And so when it comes to this issue of compromise, thank the Lord, we have His Word. We simply need to go to the Word of God with all the shifting taking place around us. We can simply come to the Word of God and see where God has set the boundaries. How many of us understand this evening, where God has set the boundaries, we dare not move them. We dare not. But they are being shifted by those who have led others astray and those who are being led astray. It's being done step by step, slowly but surely. In fact, the emerging church, you know what they say? Just be patient. Just be patient with your people. Shift things very slowly. They won't notice over time. The older generation will pass away and the younger generation will get used to the new type of Christianity you want to introduce to them. That's what they say. The shifting of the ancient landmarks. Well, as we look at the subject of compromise, that shifting, what are some truths that apostates compromise in? What can we see in the Word of God? Well, here are some truths. Notice with me 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 1. What are some truths in the Bible? Some ancient landmarks that are being shifted. 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 1. We're going to be looking at a number of verses tonight, so I hope you've got your Bibles. Look with me in 2 Peter chapter number 2 and verse 1. The Bible's here, says chapter 2 and verse 1. But there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you. So there's a warning. There will be false teachers even among genuine Christians, who privily shall bring in damnable heresies. What type of heresies? Here it is. Even denying the Lord that bought them and bring upon themselves swift destruction. So one of the truths that apostates compromise, false teachers, is the truth about the Lord, the person of God. For example, the Bible tells us who God is, but not everyone who claims to be a Christian believes what God says about himself in the Bible. People say all sorts of things today about God that claim to be Christians, but everyone seems to have an idea of who he is and what he is like. Some have even said, well, the God of the Bible is just the same God as the God of other religions. For example, Muslims worship Allah, and the God of the Bible that we believe in, many people say that, well, we believe in the same God. They just call him Allah, we call him the Lord Jesus, and God the Father. They worship the same God. My friend, that is a heresy. We do not. And the Bible clearly tells us why, where the boundaries are, where the truths are. But you see, the truth of who God is being compromised. Now, Israel did this in Egypt. Remember when they were delivered from bondage? They went through the Red Sea, walls of water on either side. When they got to Mount Sinai and Moses was up in the mount and Joshua was, when Moses was up in the mount and he was coming down with the Word of God, the commandments of God. Remember, the people made a molten calf. What does the Bible say in Exodus chapter 32? Well, they made it a molten calf and said, "These be thy gods, O Israel, which brought thee up out of the land of Egypt." You and I might say, that's absolutely insane. How could they say that this idol made of gold is the one that delivered them from the bondage of slavery in Egypt? Well, what did they do? Well, they swapped the true God for another God. They made God out to be someone who is not. And today, people are always, very often, making God out to be who He is not. For example, many apostates say today that God is only a God of love and would not allow sinners to go to hell. Many popular Christian preachers are preaching that message. God is a God of love. He will never let anyone go to hell. Now, Rob Bell, who was the former pastor of the megachurch Mars Hill, in his new book called Love Wins, makes this statement about the love of God. He says this, the love of God will melt every hard heart, and even the most depraved sinners will eventually give up their resistance and turn to God. Rob Bell believes that the love of God will ultimately lead in everyone's salvation. Everyone will come to God. Ultimately, sooner or later, they'll come to repentance and they will believe. Notice what he says about the reality of hell. He says, the statements in the Bible about hell being a place of fire and torment are mere poetry. That's what he believes. That when the Bible speaks about hell, when the Lord Jesus Christ mentions a place of torment, weeping and gnashing of teeth, fire and brimstone, Rob Bell says, well, these are just poetic descriptions. Listen to what he states. Some agony needs agonizing language. Some destruction does make you think of fire. Some betrayal actually feels like you've been burned. Some injustices do cause things to heat up. So what Rob Bell is saying, that when words are used like fire and brimstone, they're not talking about literal burning. They're not talking about literal agony. That's just a poetic description of what we experience now today on earth. Trials and difficulties. You see, the Word of God is being compromised. The truth of God is being shifted slowly but surely so that another generation will be raised up and will have no idea why Jesus Christ died on the cross and what He died to save us from, our sins, and the ultimate penalty of sin, an eternal separation where we deserve to be sent to. So the person of God is being compromised in who God is. Notice also the Word of God is being compromised. Not only the person of God, but the Word of God. There in your Bible, 2 Timothy chapter number 3. Let's look at another verse of warning. The Bible's full of warnings for us to take heed. Church family, take heed this evening. How is compromise being undertaken? Well, look with me in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 15 to 16. The Bible says here, as Paul is writing to Timothy, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Jesus Christ. Let's stop right there. What does the Apostle Paul say about the importance of the Word of God? What is the purpose of God's Word? One of the most important purposes, to make us wise unto salvation. You see, the Bible tells us that the gospel is the power of God unto salvation. Without hearing the Word of God and understanding the message of salvation, we cannot be saved. Timothy was saved because from a child he heard the scriptures. He heard what the Bible had to say about sin, about God's holiness, about God's righteousness to judge sin. He heard about the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, how He died on the cross and His blood fully atoned to pay for our sins. He heard about the resurrection. He heard about the truths that He believed in so He can be saved. You see, people today, Christian leaders today, claim that you don't need to know the Word of God in order to be saved. You just need to have an encounter with Jesus. You just need to have an experience with Jesus. And that's why many churches today are as they are. They are places of experience, not places of truth. The message is shorter than the worship time. The worship time is an entertainment value. Just encounter Jesus through the music. Just encounter Jesus through the worship. And then the preacher preaches a fluffy little message that encourages them just to come forward and pray and ask this kind of Jesus to save them. To save them from perhaps a life that's not working out. Perhaps to save them from their low self-esteem or their lack of success. You see, the Word of God is being shifted. People say that, well, you don't need to know the Bible to be saved. You don't need to know what the Scriptures say. The Bible says that without, by faith, you know the verse? Maybe you could remind me. Faith cometh by hearing. Forgive me, mental block. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Absolutely. The Word of God is the foundation of the local New Testament church. And it has to be. And as we witness to others, the Word of God must be. We cannot be saved without the Word of God. Then there's the issue not only of salvation being compromised, but sanctification. Look with me in verse 16. Once we are saved, notice verse 16, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Verse 17, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. So the Word of God is not only necessary to be saved, but also for you and I to change as a Christian, for you and I to grow as a Christian. We cannot obey the Lord, please the Lord, follow the Lord, if we are not following the Word of God. In fact, God gives us His Word, amen, for that very purpose, because it's profitable for instruction, for correction, and we need it, amen, for instruction. The Word of God is our guide for life. And you might say, well, Pastor, I know that, and how is that being compromised today? Well, many people, as we mentioned last Sunday night, believe in this false grace, that it's the distorted grace theology of popular preaching today, another kind of grace. Steve McVeigh, in his book Grace Walk, as we heard last week, has distorted the truth of biblical grace. And he states this, he says, we have not been called to live by biblical truths. We have been called to live by the truth, who is the indwelling Christ. Now, Christ lives in us as Christians, and we are to follow Christ, but the problem is, we don't know who we're following unless we follow the words of Christ. What Steve McVeigh says is that there is a mystical way to live the Christian life. If we know Christ lives in us, any kind of expression that He seeks to express in our lives is right, and it's good, and it's of the Lord. You just need to follow, ultimately, your feelings, and you'll be on track. But you see, that's not what the Bible says. The Bible says that it's the Word of God that is profitable. You see, God wants to change us from the inside out. But we need to follow His Word to be sanctified, to be set apart unto God, and to grow in Christ's likeness. But Steve McVeigh says this, that the Bible is not a guidebook, it's a grace book to point us to Christ. It's not a guidebook to live. It's a grace book. It's a grace book. It just tells us about Jesus, and somehow we mystically just follow the Saviour with Him, the Saviour who will just lead us. And look, if He wants to express Himself through you in tattoos all over your body, and if He wants to express Himself in you going to nightclubs and pubs and hanging out in ungodly and wicked places and trying to witness to people in that way, if that's what He wants to do, hey, then just let Him do it. My friends, that's a dangerous kind of Christianity. It means we just follow our feelings and not the truth. How can we know whether we're following Christ? Because we have His Word. We know what He has said. We know what the Word of God says. Amen? Christ is the living Word. Amen? And so the Word of God is being compromised in its purpose. It's to help us to grow, but these grace preachers say no. Just follow the grace within. Sounds like to me, that's the voice of the devil. Amen? That's right. Lean on your own understanding. Don't trust in the Lord with all of thine heart, trusting in His Word. Lean on thine own understanding. And that's how compromise is being brought in when it comes to the Word of God. Notice there's a compromise on preaching also. 2 Timothy chapter number 4, we're already there. Look with me in chapter 4. A compromise on the purpose of God's Word, a compromise on its preaching. Look with me at verse number 2. Let's read this verse aloud together, shall we? On two. One, two. Preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering and doctrine. Well done. So verse number 2 tells us what kind of preaching pleases God. Now, there's a kind of preaching that might please you or might please me, but when it comes to preaching the Word of God, how does God want His Word to be declared? Well, the Bible says, in fact, Paul was writing under the inspiration of God this book, and it was addressed to this young pastor. He said, I want you to preach the Word of God and be instant in season and out of season. When the Word of God is unpopular, I want you to preach it. When the Word of God is popular, I still want you to preach it the same way, in season and out of season. And how are you to do it? You are to preach the Word of God with reproof. Reproof. The word reproof means to tell someone they are wrong in a certain area of life. And we need God to reprove us. His word is given for reproof. His word is given for rebuke. Exhort is to encourage and challenge to make a decision for Christ in that area of correction. And the word of God is to be preached with all long-suffering and doctrine. Now, I've noticed as I've listened to many teachers, in fact, false teachers, apostates today, when they preach messages, it does not include many negative issues, many negative instructions, much rebuke. The messages are all about what the Bible says in the next verse, tickling people's ears, heaping to themselves teachers having itching ears. Many churches today are full of people that are just being told what they want to hear. Why are they so full? Because the message and the preacher is just telling them what they want to hear. You have all that you need within yourself to be successful. Just follow the grace of Christ within. You can. In fact, I heard one preacher recently say that the Bible says, the Apostle Paul said, I am equal to all things. Well, that's from a perverted version because it's not in the Word of God today, my friend. We are not equal to all things. Christ, we have the victory through Jesus Christ. By trusting in Him alone, by trusting in His grace alone. But you see, the self-help message in many apostate churches today are leading many people away. All it is just a self-help philosophy. It doesn't have anything to do with the correction of the Word of God. You see, if there's no conviction of sin in a message, then God isn't pleased. That's what the Bible says. If the message is not challenging you to change and to grow, then that's not a kind of message that God is pleased with. And as a pastor, I'm tempted, you know, to just preach messages that won't offend anyone. That would be the easy thing to do, my friends. And I tell you what, there would be some people that would be still here today if those were the kind of messages that we preached here at Coastline Baptist Church. People today don't want to hear the truth about the sin in their life. They want to stay in immoral relationships. And it's like a pastor can't preach today about adultery and say that it's wrong and say that fornication is wrong and to say, thus saith the Lord. But you see, the message is being compromised so that more people will come in and then the pastor can rake in the millions and live happily ever after. Apostasy. Now, let's not be deceived, amen. Well, let's be honest. The millions that are involved, I hear unsaved people doubting Christianity because of what Hillsong does. They say, look, I don't want to go to a Christian church because I've seen what Hillsong does and they're just a business in it for the money. That's an unsaved person. And so many Bible-believing Christians are deceived into thinking that's a genuine church and work of God. It is not. Brian Houston is a false teacher to the highest degree. Many Christians are being sucked in to the emerging church. Compromise on preaching. Compromise on the prominence of the Word of God. Look with me there. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts, in verse 3, shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. Someone once interviewed Brian Houston, and you know the quote well. They asked him, what do you attribute the success to Hillsong to? And you know what he said? He said, we're simply scratching people where they itch. You can find that online. We're scratching people where they itch. We're telling them what they want to hear. We're giving them what they want. So therefore, we're successful. I'm glad God didn't put us on this earth to be successful in the world. He wants us to be successful spiritually. That's got nothing to do with numbers in a church. It has everything to do with removing not the ancient landmark which thy fathers have set. Not only is the Word of God compromised in preaching, but also the gospel. Also the gospel. Look with me in Galatians chapter number 1. Galatians chapter number 1. The gospel is being compromised. You might say, well, Pastor, the gospel is simple. How can it be changed? Can it ever be changed? Well, let's have a look what the Bible says. Galatians chapter number 1, verses 6 to 7. Galatians chapter 1, verses 6 to 7. I marvel that ye are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. So even in the Galatian church, in the early days of the New Testament church, there were those in the church perverting the gospel, perverting the simple message and plan of salvation. The Bible's very clear on how a person is saved. The Bible's very clear on what the gospel is. The death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ for the full payment of sins once and for all. But the gospel is being perverted. The gospel is being changed, compromised. Now, Billy Graham is a very popular household name today within Christianity. But in the 1950s, not in the year 2015, in the 1950s, he made this statement. During a TV interview with so-called Dr. Robert Shuler, he said this. He said, God has a wideness in his mercy. God has a wideness in his mercy, and he is also a compromise in the person of God, so that those who have never heard of Christ, of the Bible, can have Christ come into their hearts. He said, if someone has never heard of Jesus Christ, has never heard the Word of God, they can, because of the wideness of God's mercy, have Christ come into their hearts. Now, that's not what the Bible teaches. The Bible says, he that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son of God hath not life. And the wrath of God abideth on him. How can we have the Son of God? Well, we need to hear the Word of God. There isn't a mystical type of salvation in the world today where someone is somehow drawn to Jesus Christ through another religion or through another teaching. You see, the gospel is being compromised. The gospel is being changed. There are some that believe that you don't need to believe the gospel to be saved. You just follow the Jesus that God has revealed to you. You just follow the religion you're in. Ultimately, that's what Billy Graham was saying. Others will be saved somehow by never hearing of Christ and never hearing of the Bible. Many today don't preach the need for repentance. Repentance, a turning from sin. There's a call, there's a gospel call during the invitation of many services to come to Christ, but it's not spelled out what for. You know, Christ didn't die on the cross for our lack of self-esteem, amen? He didn't die on the cross to save us from our financial troubles. He didn't die on the cross to save us from problems in relationships. Christ said he came to this wicked old world to die on the cross to pay for our sins. And when he cried out, "It is finished," the payment of sin was paid for. The curse of sin was gained victory over. And Christ gained the victory over death, over the devil, over the world on the cross. And that's what he paid for. He didn't pay for on the cross for us and shed his blood to save us from the problems in our life. You see, many churches today are no better than the average self-help speaker in the world today. Now, let me offer you something to lift you out of the depression you're in. Come to Jesus Christ. He'll give you a better life. Now, that sounds attractive. And who wouldn't come forward to ask that kind of Jesus to help them? But that is not salvation. That is not salvation. Rick Warren, in his book, How Many Days of Purpose? Well, who knows and who cares? But Rick Warren says, you know, 30 days of purpose, is it 40? That's right, 40 days of purpose. He makes this statement after the first lesson. He says, he asks the reader to pray this prayer, and it's all about, Lord, help me to find my purpose in my life. Help me surrender my heart to you. I've quoted it in previous weeks. And he says, if you've just prayed this prayer, you've now become a child of God and you are born again. That's what he says. And the prayer has nothing to do with repentance. It has nothing to do with sin. It has nothing to do with salvation. Lord, help me find my purpose. And that's his prayer, example prayer for salvation from sin. And now you are a child of God and your eternity is secure with him. My friends, that's another gospel. See, the ancient landmarks are being shifted. Slowly, but surely. And we live in a very, very fearful day. Let me conclude with 1 Timothy chapter number 4. You might say, Pastor, how is this possible that so many popular preachers, so many big names in Christianity could shift so far from the Word of God? 1 Timothy chapter number 4 tells us the reason why. And please see for yourself with me. 1 Timothy chapter number 4, as God describes the characteristics of those who compromise, notice how He describes them. Chapter number 4, verse 1, 1 Timothy, "Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times," that's the day we live in, "some shall depart from the faith," that's apostasy, "giving heed to" what? "Seducing spirits." Now it's not the Holy Spirit that seduces, this is another spirit. It's the spirit of Satan, that's backed up by the next part which says, "and doctrines of devils, speaking lies in hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron." Now you and I may not want to believe it, but the false teachers, many of the false teachers today, are satanically what does the Bible say? Seduced. Satanically seduced. My friends, we are in a spiritual warfare. Sometimes we forget that there is a devil. And there are devils and demons in the world. There are other spirits at play. And the devil's greatest attack against Christ is not to keep the lost away from salvation, but it's to pervert the truth of God, to change the Word of God. It's to sow seeds of lies among so-called Christianity, to sow the seed of tares among the wheat, as the Lord taught in the parables. And so we see that these false teachers are influenced satanically. They take heed, they pay attention to the alluring or the seducing spirits that would lead them away from the truth. Perhaps it's a spirit of worldliness, the temptation to make big money out of church and Christianity. Perhaps it's, in fact, a more diabolical influencing and even possessing of the devil. I believe that. I believe that some preachers are so far from the Word of God, it may very well be that they are demon-possessed. And we'll see that in a moment. The Bible says they're influenced satanically. And you say, how can they speak so contrary to the truth? Well, notice what verse 1 says. It says that verse 2, they speak what? Lies. What does God say? They're lying. They're lying. How can they say what they say when the Bible says the opposite? It's because they're liars. They're lying. They're speaking lies in hypocrisy. That means they know the truth. And they're saying the opposite. They know the truth. And they're deliberately perverting it in order to lead people astray. Wow. What a shocking fact. God says it's true. They're lying. And by the way, you might say, well, Pastor, they look so godly. They look so clean. They look so nice. Their words are so smooth. But you see, without a outward appearance of godliness, they won't be able to get away with those lies. They won't be able to get away with those lies and hypocrisy. They have to appear godly, but their words are lies, insincere speech. And then notice they are internally scarred. Their conscience is seared with a hot iron. Now, if you've ever seen a horse branded with an owner's mark, a hot iron is heated up, and that mark is applied to the horse, and painfully, but yet permanently, that horse is branded and marked with the ownership of the owner. So therefore, the owner knows which horse is his. If that horse is stolen, or if it somehow breaks loose, when it's recovered, they know who it's belonged to. That flesh which is burned is calcified, is hardened permanently. What does the Bible say? Why are these false teachers teaching such heresy? Because their conscience is seared with a hot iron. Their conscience is no longer sensitive to the Word of God and the Spirit of God. They don't care what the Word of God says. They're just following what they feel like saying and preaching. They've lost all sensitivity to spiritual matters and the Word of God. You see, this is the characteristics of those who compromise on the truth. That's why we can't just take a message we see online or go to a church and just hear preaching and take it for granted. I'm glad that you have a Bible here this evening. please check everything by the word of God. Amen. And we try not to make it complicated at Coastline Baptist Church. If you've got a Bible, you can see for yourself, what does God say? God says that there is a great apostasy. But some of us live in a pretend world where we think everyone who says they're a Christian is a Christian. So we buy books that we should never touch. We watch preaching that we should never listen to, because it perverts our hearts and leads us away from the truth. The emerging church, that's what it's called today, the apostate church. The emerging church is leading the next generation away from the truth of God's word, leading them to another Jesus, another salvation, attracting them with the music of the world, the CCM rock music of the world. And by the way, where there's worldliness, there is apostasy. I guarantee you that. Where there's worldliness, there is apostasy. Once you get a taste for the world, you don't want what God says in the Bible, because He says, love not the world. And when you're reproved by the Word of God, if you're hungry for the world's things and the world's temptations and the world's lusts, my friend, you won't be here for very long. You'll be out the door and you'll go to another church that just tickles your ears and tells you what you want to hear so you can live as you please. The apostasy of the day. This first step to apostasy is compromise. Compromise. Remove not the ancient landmark which thy fathers have set. How can we be sure not to shift, not to move, by standing firm on the word of God? Some may have outwardly shifted that landmark, but thank God we can go back to the title deed, amen? See what God says. By the grace of God, let's stay as we are, amen? Let's not shift on the truth of God's word. It's not our right. He's given us His word. He expects us to obey His word. He expects the preaching to be pleasing to God, not pleasing to me or pleasing to you or to the wider population, but to be pleasing to the Lord. Compromise. In the word of God, the person of God, the gospel of God, the word of God, and then the characteristics of those who compromise the truth are very obvious. There are seducing spirits. Don't be led away. Brethren, don't be led away. Let me close with this thought. In biblical days, they didn't have the internet. If you wanted to go to hear the truth, you went to the local New Testament church. And they met more often than we do. Amen? That's where they met. That's where they fellowshiped. That's where they encouraged one another. That's where they heard the truth. And there was a foundation of truth. You could check it. You could hear it. There was accountability there. But my friends, in the local Christian bookstore, there's no accountability. Anyone could sell a book claiming to be a Christian. Anyone can put up a message online and claim to be a Christian. But what do they believe? Are they even saved? Are they demonically seduced? You don't know. You don't know. That's why it's so dangerous. That's why I'd like to encourage you to be in church. Amen? For the truth of God's word is preached, and it is profitable to you and I so we can grow in Christ's likeness and be kept from the error of the day.